place beyond imagination, where both space and time deform into grotesque realities.
Here is the actual sound of a person who's just finished dining at Kingston Seaway Restaurant.
Hello. Hello, baby. Hello.
Wow, you're some operator.
I was born in a basement in 1959.
Editor's note. No filter or increase in tape speed were used for these scenes.
Without you as the liaison between McDonald's Corporation and the customer, we're dead.
A free candy bar for every child that knows what grows in the secret garden. The answer, of course, is love, hope, and happiness.
Thank you for letting us introduce you to one of the finest entertainment products available, and happy motoring.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. Happy Wednesday. Derek Gary with you. No big picture tonight. Lisa Nichols has the week off, and we are heading into Memorial Day weekend. And let's face it, do you want to hear more about Hillary Clinton's emails, protests outside of Donald Trump rallies, and all the other bad things going on in the world? Or do you want to get excited for the first nice three-day weekend of the year? I know where my sentiments lie, and hopefully you're with me. So for the next couple of hours, it is a special occasional edition of Hear It Wow. Music that you will never hear anyplace else on the radio, I guarantee it. 617-627-3800 is the number if you're inclined to call in. And this is also a good week if you are easily distracted, have trouble multitasking. This is a good week to get over to Facebook and hit up facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo, where you can sign up and find out what's coming up on future shows, among other things. It is a warm day today. We've got the air conditioner going in the studio, fortunately. And it is going to be a warm weekend. It is going to be beach weather this weekend. So I'm going to kick this off tonight with the annual end of the school year song from Alice Cooper. And then we're going to hear some songs about the beach. And after a few of those, we're going to play one of my very favorite records of all time. You will be an expert on wine by 9 o'clock tonight if you stick around, I promise you, and you will have a very, very entertaining time becoming a wine expert. But before we learn about wine, let's say goodbye to all of that boring classroom and book learning, shall we?
Choice, all the girls and boys making all- The beach is a good place to pick up girls because you can really see what you're getting. Most beaches are crawling with chicks, and they're all there for just one reason, to get a terrific tan so they'll look great and attract all the men they want. But why wait till they've got the perfect tan? Why not pick the best-looking chick right off the beach and have a really great afternoon in the sun? Remember, that's what she's there for. And because girls are more self-conscious about their looks, there'll be more chicks than guys catching the rays on the beach any day. This works in your favor because it makes the girls competitive for the guys and easy pickups. Just pick out a pretty girl, put your towel down in her line of sight, and spread out your gear. Let her see that you're well-equipped with a radio, thermos of drinks, and magazines, so she'll know you're a serious sun worshiper, too. Don't let her know yet that you've noticed her. This is easy because her eyes will probably be closed against the sun until she hears you unpacking your gear. Settle down and then take out your empty suntan oil spray. Shake the can angrily, making as much noise as you can as you pretend to discover it's empty. When you've got her attention, notice her noticing you. You probably won't even have to speak first. This is such a perfect pickup technique. That's what happened to Paul at Malibu when he settled down near a leggy chick wearing just a string bikini.
Are you out of oil?
Yeah. I thought I had a full can, but my sister must have used it all when I lent it to her. And the sun's really fierce today.
Well, would you like to borrow some of mine?
Say, that would be great. But are you sure you have enough?
I always carry extra.
You're very smart.
First, Paul's already let her know he's generous by making up that story about lending his sister his suntan oil, while actually his can's been empty all summer. But more important, he's the first guy on the beach to ever tell this great-looking chick she's smart. He doesn't even mention her fantastically soft-looking breasts pushing out of her bathing suit top. He can tell her that later. Right now, she's proud to lend him some oil because he's noticed how intelligent she is to have brought an extra supply. Girls like to have their intelligence appreciated as well as their bodies. Then Paul goes over to have a closer look at this chick holding out the oil to him.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Are you sure you can spare it?
Sure, take all you want.
I'll put it on here so you can have it right back.
That's all right. Take your time.
You've got such a good tan, you must live on the beach.
Yes, I share a house with some other stewardesses.
When Paul learns the girl's a stew, he knows what to do next because stews are trained to serve men. So he pretends to have trouble spreading the suntan oil on his back.
It's hard to spread this stuff on my back. Do you think you can give me a hand here? I can't get it right in the middle.
Sure, hold still. How's that?
Feels great. I couldn't have done it without you.
Paul's no novice at this pickup. He knows perfectly well how to oil his own back, but he also knows that all girls want to be helpful and feel needed. In 5 minutes, he's getting a back rub from this fantastic chick who is falling out of her tiny suit over him, and she still doesn't know she's being picked up.
I'm protected now. But your back looks kind of dry. Let me do it for you.
Oh, thanks.
Just undo your strap and I can get it around.
Okay.
How's that feel?
But Paul doesn't have to ask because he knows he's a terrific back rubber. Who isn't? And the chick is literally in his hands. He can feel the supple muscles of her back tensing and relaxing under his sure fingers.
That feels wonderful.
It's important to work the oil in. There. That about does it.
So fast.
She wants more. Paul really knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Now that she's relaxed and ready, he throws her the pass.
I'd like to pay you back for the suntan oil.
Oh, forget it. I'm glad I could help.
I just can't forget it. You saved my skin. I'll tell you what. Let me give you a frosty drink from my thermos. It's the least I can do for you.
You don't have to do anything.
Please. I insist.
Well, just one would be refreshing.
And how can she resist? When she struggles to do up her bathing suit straps, she flashes some nipple, but Paul keeps cool. He gives her a hand up, and they go over to his towel. Now he's got her on his own territory. She's his already, and they haven't even had that drink yet.
Here's your drink. I'm glad at least I remember my thermos.
I'm glad you ran out of suntan oil.
Me too.
And where does this beautiful relationship go from here? Anywhere Paul wants it to. And all because he made this luscious chick feel special because he noticed her intelligent planning. Try it.
We spotted the ocean at the head of the trail. Where are we going? So far away. Somebody told me this is the place where everything's better and everything's safe. Walk on the ocean.
Thank you. two, three, four.
This is Kate Pearson from the B-52s for Red. Getting drunk is your own business, but when you drive drunk, you make it everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
WMFO Medford, it is a special pre-Memorial Day edition of Hear It Wow. I am Derek Gary. The Big Picture will be back next week, but now we've got something really special for you. This is one of my favorite records of all time. Alexis Lachine, for the younger generation, is probably unknown, but for the older generation, is a man who was synonymous with wine. Not only did he own vineyards, he also... created the varietal labeling system that is used by California wines and other wines made in the United States to this very day. He was a very influential wine buyer. He wrote extensively about wine. He opened the first public wine tasting rooms here in the United States. So this is a guy who not only wrote about it, sold it, made it, knew it inside out, but also created a record as a counterpart to his successful book, The Joy of Wine. And in this record, he is going to take us to some of the top wine producers in the world, some of the best-known winemakers, and explain to us what wine is, what makes wine fantastic, and what to look for when we are selecting wine. So by the end of this, around 9 o'clock, just before On the Town with Mikey D gets in here, we will know everything we need to know about wine and be ready for the holiday weekend and the summer beyond. Please enjoy.
Chevalier de la table ronde, goûte au voir si le vin est bon. Chevalier de la table ronde, goûte au voir si le vin est bon. Thank you.
vigne, voilà la jolie vigne, voilà la jolie vigne. Des vignes graves, voilà la jolie grappe, grappon, 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 le vert, voilà la jolie grappon.
Good evening, my name is Alexis Lichine. This record is dedicated to one of the most civilized manifestations of man, the appreciation and enjoyment of fine wines. Knowing fine wines is not only fun intellectually and aesthetically, but drinking fine wines is one of the great joys of life. What pleasure there is in inhaling the bouquet of a good wine, observing its color, tasting the delicious liquid, and enjoying the exhilarating afterglow which rises within the soul while consuming a bottle of fine wine.
This is Clifton Fadiman. I know of no nobler celebration of wine in all English verse than Hilaire Belloc's heroic poem in praise of wine. Here are its opening lines. To exalt, enthrone, establish, and defend, to welcome home mankind's mysterious friend, wine, true begetter of all arts that be, wine privilege of the completely free, wine the recorder, wine the sagely strong, wine, bright avenger of sly dealing wrong, awake, Ausonian muse, and sing the vineyard song.
Wine has been the good companion of man from almost the beginning of time. Its appearance marked the first introduction of what we now call civilization. With the planting of the grapevine, man really became domesticated, rooted to the soil, so to speak. For the first time, man had to wait more than weeks and months for the vine he had planted to produce grapes. He had to wait a long time, 4 years in fact, for it takes 4 years for a newly planted vine to give forth its fruit. It was during this waiting period that man created civilization. He had to develop some sort of social structure. He no longer ate his food raw. He learned to cook. He learned to build shelter, he tamed animals, and he himself took a stride forward into what became civilization and culture. But how did man learn to make wine? No one really knows, but here's a charming legend.
An ancient Persian king, who was very fond of grapes and who was afraid they might be stolen, for they were a precious fruit at that time, had stored some away in a great stone jar. To ward off theft, he wrote across the lid the word poison. Many months passed, and time did its work on the grapes in the jar. One day, a beautiful young girl, a member of the king's harem, who had fallen into disfavor with the king, came upon the great stone jar marked poison. The despairing beauty, fed up with her young life, dipped her cup into the jar and drank. She waited. Nothing happened. But somehow she liked the taste of the poison, and so she drank another cup. Again she waited. Still death did not come. As a matter of fact, she began to feel full of life and zest. Her spirits rose. So she brought a cup of the remarkable liquid to the king. The king cautiously tasted it and became so entranced with this product of the grape, which of course had turned to wine, that he took the young, despairing girl back into his favor. And from that day on, they not only made love, but they drank wine together.
And so the art of winemaking had been so deliciously discovered. Now, learning about fine wines is one of the most pleasant pursuits known to man, and it is that pursuit upon which we now embark. The greatest wines come from France, and there are 1,500,000 wine growers in France. One person out of every seven is directly or indirectly connected with wine, a remarkable statistic. In France, the greatest wine growing areas are in the neighborhood of the city of Bordeaux and in Burgundy. There is nothing mysterious about French wines, though to be sure their names at first make you think that you're being introduced to dark, cabalistic secrets. the names of the various wines are simply place names. Therefore, to learn about French wines is to learn something of the geography of France. You will learn where the town of Chablis is. You will learn where Vouvray is, and Sauternes, and Saint-Emilion, Pommard, Châteauneuf-du-Pape, and the Médoc. For it is these places, these towns, and districts which give the names to the wines we drink. Let us begin with Bordeaux. It is a seaport, 60 miles from the Atlantic Ocean on the Garonne River. This is an induction ceremony of the Bordeaux wine growers and shippers, the Commanderie du Bon Temps. This colorful ceremony is held periodically in the vineyards of Bordeaux.
Oyez, gentes dames et demoiselles, gentils hommes et demoiselles, la Commanderie du Bon Temps de Médoc et du Grave vous salue. Par le bon temps, pour le bon temps, grave Médoc.
Bordeaux was an English possession for over 300 years, and though France regained the city and the surrounding vineyards in the 15th century, the English still call the wines of Bordeaux claret, a corruption of the French word claret. There are still English families in the wine business of Bordeaux today. Wine has romantic connotations, but it is also big business in Bordeaux. You will find wine brokers there, stock exchange quotations on wine, speculation on the possible future prices of certain vintages and growths. All the wine of Bordeaux is sold through the brokers who act as go-betweens for grower and buyer. It is he who certifies that the wine which he has bought is genuine and in good condition. The shippers buy from the brokers and send the wine of Bordeaux to every corner of the globe. This is why, especially for district or regional blended wines, the name of the shipper which you read on the label of the bottle of wine you've bought is so important to you. It is your guarantee of excellence. Come then into my warehouse in Bordeaux, which we call a chai. This is a case of fine wine from the Médoc, a narrow strip of land just north of Bordeaux. While the Médoc stretches some 60 miles, the best wine in this region comes from the area nearest Bordeaux called the Haut Médoc. In this area, you will find the villages of Margaux, Saint-Julien, Pauillac, and Saint-Estèphe. From these four villages come the great wines of Château Lascombe, Château Margaux, Château Latour, Château Mouton Rothschild, and Château Lafitte Rothschild. This case of wine which we are following on the automatic belt comes from a neighboring vineyard, Château Lascombe. Now it has reached the room where the bottle is dressed. The manager of this department speaks to one of the workers.
Ici, nous sommes dans la salle de préparation où nous faisons le capsulage, l'étiquetage, l'essuyage des bouteilles. Nous faisons la caisse entièrement complète, l'étampage, l'agrafage et nous essuyons les bouteilles qui arrivent de la cave. Et nous faisons toute la préparation nécessaire pour les bouteilles pour l'Amérique.
What you just said is that we are in the room where the bottles are prepared for shipment. This is where they are washed, where the tin foil is applied on them, where they are labeled, where finally they are put in cases to be shipped to all parts of the world.
The boys are now loading the cases of wine onto the trucks. These trucks will take these cases to the piers just across the street. This is where the boats are waiting at anchor in the Garonne River. This river, as you know, empties out into the Atlantic Ocean, and this is from this one harbor in Bordeaux that the Bordeaux wine will be shipped to all parts of the world.
Château bottled wine is one where the bottler of the wine is also the owner of the vineyard. He holds a license from the government to bottle his own wine and no others. In other words, Mr. Aymar Achille Fould, who owns the vineyards of Château Bechevel, cannot buy wine from another vineyard, cart it to his château and bottle it there under his name. This would be a serious offense and bears heavy penalties. On the wine bottle labels appear the words Appellation Contrôlée. We would freely interpret the words to mean that the wine has been made and bottled under the laws of the governing board which sets the standards for the wine you've bought. Appellation contrôlée, or controlled place name, literally sets a minimum standard for a given area. Some unscrupulous shippers and growers could fill their bottles with inferior wine and label it as a superior wine.
Le meilleur, indiscutablement, de cette dégustation, c'est le meilleur.
These are judges at a wine tasting. Listen to the words and the comments they are using to attempt to describe the wines.
C'est le numéro 15. Vous êtes d'accord, M. Chavagnac?
Oui, c'est un grand vin bien complet, avec assez de classe.
Qui a énormément de caractère, oui.
Oui. Nous sommes tous d'accord.
Allez.
Il y a de la race, c'est un très grand vin.
C'est racé, elegant, supple, complete, full-bodied, round, fleshy, beautiful color, well harmonized, the taste lingers. It is these words which makes the knowledge of fine wine such an aesthetic experience. The description of wine by these experts is purely literary and certainly not scientific. The only word with a remotely scientific flavor is tannin. The judges are detecting the tannic acid in the wine, that substance which gives the palate a certain pleasurable puckering. You see, wine tasting is the art of being precise, of translating into precise literary terms the act of sipping a little wine, keeping it to the tip of your tongue, breathing in air through your pursed lips, spewing it forth, and making a judgment which really is a literary comment. For wine is a living thing. It breathes. It changes color. It is born, grows, ages, and dies. The judges must use humanistic terms as though they were judging a living thing, a racehorse, for example, or a beautiful woman. But I must not lead you to believe that science and wine have nothing to do with one another. Wine has been scientifically analyzed and has been discovered to be a wonderful food. Wine contains calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, and many other beneficial minerals and vitamins. Here's a scientist to talk about wine, my friend Dr. Maynard Amerine of the University of California.
You, who are one of the most eminent wine scientists of the world today, you're a professor of oenology at the University of California. Can you tell me whether, with all of the great know-how that exists today, one can reduce great wines such as those of Bordeaux, Burgundy, the Rhine, and the Moselle down to a chemical formula?
Oh, no, Alexis. Let me just answer the question by asking you, we know all about physics. We know about the physics of sound. We know the wavelengths of sound and so forth. And yet, who can explain the difference between Beethoven and Brahms, or even the difference between Beethoven's First Symphony and Second Symphony? So we don't even know nearly that much about the chemistry of wines. How can we tell you the difference between Chateau Lescam and Chateau Margaux, or one chateau than another? At the present time, there are a little over 200 known compounds in wine. Each of these react with each other. That is, some make the smell of one less, some make the smell of one more. When you think of all the combinations of 200 compounds reacting together, the combinations are so tremendous, so many, that it's absolutely impossible for us to explain what makes one wine different than another in purely chemical terms. Now, we can tell you the difference between a bad wine and a good wine in purely chemical terms, because wine that's got lots of vinegar in it, we can analyze for that. We can tell you what a thin wine is. It has no alcohol. We can tell you what a sweet wine is. It has sugar or doesn't have sugar. We can tell you a brandy that's hot because it has high aldehyde. We can tell you a brandy that's not very good because it has lots of fusel oil. There are a lot of things we can tell you chemically. But you asked the question, what makes the difference between a very great wine and differences between one great wine and another one? And we have no idea of that any more than we have the idea of why Beethoven's sound, the same kind of sound used by Brahms.
Or else you can even compare it to great painters, the same thing.
And they all use the same brushes, the same colors, and sometimes the same paints, but they make different kinds of painting.
I want you to know the names of the great vineyards of the Medoc, the greatest red wine growing district in the world. Chateau Margaux, Chateau Lascombe, Chateau Prieur-Lichine.
A few miles northeast up the road from these vineyards is a village district which is known as Saint-Julien. Its wines are a little fuller than those of Margaux. In the Saint-Julien parish, the vineyard of Château Bechevel is perhaps the best known. And then there is Château du Cru Boucaillou and the vineyards of Léauville-Lascars. Leaving the Saint-Julien vineyards, one travels north along the vineyard road toward Pauillac. The chateaus one passes read like a wine list. Château Latour, Château Pichon-Longueville, Château Mouton-Rothschild, and Château Lafitte-Rothschild. It was from Pauillac that almost 200 years ago, Lafayette set forth one dark night to journey to the far-off shores of America. I would like you to meet Baron Rothschild, my neighbor 20 miles to the north. Philippe, you who understand quality, what does it really consist of?
Quality in wines is very important. What does it depend on? Well, first, on nature. In nature, the first and essential element is the soil. And then, above the soil, there is the sky. And the quality of wine will always depend on what the sky decides. After nature, there comes man. The part of man is important. For man, it means a total care of every moment. Now, what does every moment mean? It means from the time you plant a stick in the soil, a stick which will be some years later a vine plant, until one day, many years after, the wine slips between your lips. And that means a long way to go. What are the factors on the way? They are numerous. It starts in the air, meaning the choice of the vine plant. There are many hundreds of different vine plants, and in our case, is limited to 4 or 5. Then the care the laborers have to take all on the year working in the vineyard. Of the cares, the most important is undoubtedly the pruning. The pruning has to be done as carefully as when you go to your manicure. After the long year's work comes the harvest. The harvest has to be done at the appropriate time. The harvest means picking the grapes and from the grapes make the wine. Then comes a long process, the nursing of the wine lying in oak barrels for 2 to 3 years. And the wine has to be nursed exactly as you would take care of a baby. Finally, when the wine is ready, then comes the bottling. The wine is then adolescent. And let me add then one more word. The wine is in bottle, then comes the labeling, which is the dressmaker's part. And finally, may I say that the quality of the wine will depend on the mood in which you will be when uncorking the bottle.
Philippe, wine and art have always been more than a hobby. As a matter of fact, they've been a pursuit of yours. How do they go together?
Well, Alexis, ever since dear old Noah started the process, wine has always been a cause of reverence, pride, of glory. It has always accompanied the great days of life. It has always taken part in all the great celebrations and festivities. Therefore, it has inspired the artists who wished to record either humanity or man at its best. Also, to give more value to this expression, to this superb support of wine, all through history, one has always created exceptional artistic vessels to drink the wine. They have been made in all the most precious materials, from gold to rock crystal and many others. All this has prompted me to make a collection, and this collection has now become the Mouton Museum, where one can see how the artist throughout the centuries has glorified wine and how they have made these remarkable vessels. I wouldn't say that you would personally like to drink in those rather intimidatingly heavy decorated goblets. But mind you, you might be jealous of those who did.
Oh,
what?
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
WMFO Medford. It is a special memorial, pre-memorial day edition of Hear It Wow. I am Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock. When On the Town with Mikey D, we'll be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Lisa Nichols and The Big Picture will be back next week to torment you with everything that is happening in the headlines. In the meantime, we get to enjoy one of my favorite records of all time. This is Alexis Lachine's The Joy of Wine, released in 1967. And we take wine for granted today. It is difficult to imagine that there was a time in America where wine was not everywhere, where people were not at least familiar with the basics of wine. But prior to Alexis Lachine popularizing a lot of this, wine was really reserved for the upper classes in the United States of America. Yes, there were cheap table wines floating around, but there wasn't the sort of robust multi-level wine market that we have today. And in this record, Lachine is really walking in between those two worlds. We heard Baron Rothschild in the last segment, and we heard Lachine talking about the Margaux winery, which is one of the most famous labels in the world. So there is still a little bit of that old world wine snobbishness about this, but rest assured that Mr. Lachine is on your side, Mr. or Mrs. Everyday Wine Consumer, and wants to help you get the most out of your wine investments. This is WMFO Medford.
2 miles up along the Gironde River is one of the most famous wine villages of the Médoc, Saint-Estèphe, a name that symbolizes a big, heavy wine. Château Montrose, Château Cosdestournel, and Château Calonségur are the names of the three classic wines of this area. Now, what is it that makes this region of the Haut Médoc such a spectacular and historic area for the making of wine? Since the 15th century, and even before, it has been acknowledged as the supreme place for the growing of the grape. The soil is an ancient soil, and it is a gravelly one. To walk across one of the local vineyards is to walk across a pebbly, stony terrain. So first of all, it is the quality of the soil in this region which makes it so distinctive. Then there is climate. There is something absolutely entrancing about the air which blows in from the sea, many miles away, to mix with the clear and humid air which rises from the Gironde river basin. Then there is the force of the sun, which pierces this clarifying air to reach the growing vines. This combined with